Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very new addition to the Mennonites Podcast Library. I was planning on doing my retro film review for Big Trouble in Little China, but I decided to call an audible on this, and I'm doing something different. As you can already see from the title and the thumbnail, I'm doing a book review. That's right, I'm doing my first ever book review on this channel. I talked about it a couple of times that I was going to do one, and just decided, fuck it. Let's just do it right now. And if you already saw from the title, the thumbnail, that book is, if you're watching on YouTube, the book that I'm holding in my hand right now, that is The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, a Hunger Games novel by Suzanne Collins, a prequel book to the Hunger Games trilogy. And I am a fan of the Hunger Games films. And the books, especially. I read the books before I saw the movies, much like with Harry Potter. And yes, this one is very much a prequel to the previous Hunger Games stories. I wasn't sure what to expect from this one. I knew it was a prequel story, but I just didn't know exactly how it was going to be a prequel. But then once I finally got into reading it, that's when I finally realized, that's why it's a prequel, and that's what it's about. And this book, I'm going to read the little synopsis that's on the inside of the cover jacket right here. It says, "It is the morning of the reaping that will kick off the 10th annual Hunger Games. In the capital, 18-year-old Coriolanus Snow," if that name sounds familiar to you if you're a Hunger Games fan, that is because it is President Snow in the later books. That's right. This is a prequel story, an origin story, if you will, about President Snow. Anyways, yes. 18-year-old Coriolanus Snow is preparing for his one shot at glory as a mentor in the games. The once mighty House of Snow has fallen on hard times, its fate hanging on the slender chance that Coriolanus will be able to outcharm, outwit, and outmaneuver his fellow students to mentor the winning tribute. The odds are against him. He's been given the humiliating assignment of mentoring the female tribute from District 12, the lowest of the low," which, you know, explains a lot about why he does not like District 12 in the other books. "Their fates are now completely intertwined. Every choice Coriolanus makes could lead to favor or failure, triumph or ruin. Inside the arena, it will be a fight to the death. Outside the arena, Coriolanus..." Is it Coriolanus or is it Coriolanus? I say Coriolanus. Just makes more sense to me. "Coriolanus starts to feel for his doomed tribute and must weigh his need to follow the rules against his desire to survive no matter what it takes." Yeah, this book came out earlier this year in the springtime. I believe it was around May of this year. And I picked it up at Walmart the week of its release, and off and on was reading most of the summer reading the book. I got to reading it right away as soon as I got it, and then I just kind of, like, after reading the first chapter, I just stopped reading it for a little while. And then when I started working my hospital job, you know, some certain days during like August and early September, there would be some, you know, downtime in between treating patients and all that. So I would read the book to, you know, just see what's going on. Because when I read the first chapter, I'll be honest, the first chapter was a little slow. Didn't really draw me in much. But then once I finally picked it up again and started reading from chapter 2 onward, I was hooked into the story very much. I'm recording this at 1 in the morning, Saturday. So, yeah, Saturday, November the 28th. So, I'm a little blah, blah, loopy. And also, I've been watching the kill count videos from Dead Meat YouTube channel all evening. So, my head's a little funky at the moment. But anyways, unlike the other books of the Hunger Games series, this one is much longer than the other three books. Like this one, let me see how many pages this story is. It is, okay, the actual story itself is 517 pages. That's right. This is 517 pages, whereas the other three books, you know, Hunger Games, Catching Fire, Mockingjay, I would say are about 300 and change pages. So yeah, a lot of story to tell in this one. And it is quite a story, for sure. I will tell you that much. I'm not going to go too deep into spoilers on this one, because I don't know how many people have actually read the book or are planning to read the book. So I'm going to try to be careful with what I say in terms of specifics of the story. But yeah, as you got from the little synopsis from the inside jacket of the cover, yes, it is about Coriolanus Snow, a.k.a. President Snow, as you, again, from the other books and movies, who in the movies was played by Donald Sutherland, brilliant actor. Yes, like I said, it's very much his origin story as to how he came into power, and how he was driven with success and fame and fortune, and that his family was a family of, you know, privilege and wealth as part of the, you know, like, capital families, as we are, people who have read the other books and seen the movies are more familiar with. You know, the capital families are basically it's the rich, and the districts are essentially middle class and poor. But after the war that launched, you know, what would become the Hunger Games, the Snow family fell on some hard financial times, and they struggled, but, you know, because they are so proud of who they are and their family name and their lineage, they are, what's the right word for it, they keep up appearances. That's the right phrase for it. They keep up appearances. They don't want the rest of the capital to realize how much they're actually struggling, and whenever he is Corio, that's the nickname that some of the characters in the story like to give him. Only specific characters, people, those that he is closest to, or that he feels closest to, and are worthy of addressing him in that form, like his cousin, she's basically is like a mother to him, because his mother had died years before, and his father had died in the war. Like I said, the big war with the districts and the capital that, you know, led to the Hunger Games. So he has held a lot of resentment against the districts, because it cost him his family, pretty much. And this, the cousin, I think it's Tigris or Tigris, I don't know how it's pronounced. I guess we'll find out whenever they make the movie version of it eventually, which I'm sure they will. Although I do wonder, because of how long the story is, there's a lot of details that I don't know how many of them they're going to actually want to keep. So they might have to split it into two films, like they did for Mockingjay, even though Mockingjay is a much shorter story than this one. And also, this is a much more violent story compared to the other three stories of the Hunger Games series. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they maintain that PG-13 rating with this one. Although, I've noticed that some of the PG-13 films in recent years, they've been pretty liberal with the violence that they present in some of them. But anyways, yeah, it's a much more violent story and very graphic with the violence. A lot of blood is spilled all throughout, not just from the games themselves, stuff that happens before and after and within the story, because unlike the other stories in the series, the story does not end with the Hunger Games. There's a lot more story afterwards. I'm trying very hard to try to think of stuff that I can tell about the story without spoiling it for anyone who wants to read it and hasn't done so yet. But I enjoyed it very much. I've seen other people that have, you know, given their reviews and their thoughts on it that they felt it was a little underwhelming, and I can kind of understand that, because, you know, especially if they are more familiar with the previous stories, that you know, they don't know how to, what's the right phrasing for it? They don't know how to, I guess, open their mind to this version of the history of the districts and Pan Am and all that stuff within this world. I mean, I enjoy it very much, and you know, because, well, but also at the same time, it's like, you know, not specifically to this book. I just love reading in general, especially like books like this that are very detailed, and that while you're reading it, you can picture it in your head like a movie. I remember one of my coworkers even said that's why she loves reading books as well, because you picture your own movie in your head as you're reading the words. And that's why I love reading, because it in my head I can see it happening, and I can insert myself in that world that the stories are taking place, and it makes it more enjoyable for me. And yeah, and I can't wait to do more of these book reviews eventually. Probably the next one that I'm actually planning on doing is a book that my friend Justin had written that just came out November 17th. It's available on Amazon. It's called The Cut. It is a romanticized and fictionalized version of what went on behind the scenes of the production of Justice League back in 2016. So, can't wait for that book to arrive so I can read it and do a nice review for you guys. And I'll actually put the link in the description for this episode for anyone that would like to check it out. themidside.com/thecut. And, but yes, going back to Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. And this is also where we learn the origin of the Mockingjay. Because there's a part where, again, it's the part after the Hunger Games. And like they're in District 12. And we find out about that there's the Jabberjays that were, you know, manufactured by the Capitol. And the Mockingbirds that they mated, and that's where we got the Mockingjays. So, that's a nice little detail there. And I do wonder, though, the Suzanne Collins, because, you know, all four of these books are written by her, obviously. You know, which, of course, is great, means there's going to be more consistency in the story. But I just wonder how much of this, you know, did she plan a way ahead? Because the way it comes off to me is that all the details throughout this story, very much like maybe she had written this years ago after the release of Mockingjay, that she had planned in her head that she was going to eventually, you know, write a full prequel story to this. Because there's a lot of the details in here that make me feel like that she had planned it for a long time. I don't remember when that book came out, though. Let me check what year Mockingjay book was released. Mockingjay book. There we go. Alright, it was released in 2010. Alright, so it was released 10 years ago. That's cool. So, there you go. So maybe she did plan it way back then, and she was just taking her time writing it, kind of like the Stephanie Meyer writing the Midnight Sun, you know, from the Twilight series that just came out this year as well, and also on the recommendation of one of my coworkers, I might check out that book as well, and I might revisit the Twilight books as well, because I tried reading the first book, got about halfway through, and just gave up, so maybe I'll try giving those a second chance. Throughout the whole story, Curio, again, I'm just gonna address him that way, he's driven by fame, fortune, and power, because all he wants is to just be successful. He wants to be at the elite level in the capital of Pan Am, because having struggled for however many years since his father had died, and trying to play up the facade that they are still a family of wealth and status, even though they are not by that point, yeah, he is just driven to get himself out of basically the shithole that they are in, and at the status that he feels he is supposed to be, And especially with the grandmother or grandmam, as they call her in the stories, that the family motto is "Snow lands on top," and they try to drive that into their heads as often as they can, to motivate them to be more than what they are. So, yeah, it's a very very dramatic story in a lot of parts, and I'll be honest, I did get a little teary eyed at some parts of the story, but if just reading a book can move me to tears even slightly, that's how you know it's a good story. And and planning on reading this again very very soon. So maybe I can try to remember a few more of the details. I mean, it's still fairly fresh in my mind. It's only been about 2 months since I'd read it. 2.5 months, really. So a lot of it is still very much fresh in my head. And like I said, it's much more violent than Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and Mockingjay are. So if they do eventually do the movie version of it, I'm just curious how they're gonna dial that back a little bit, because if they want to market it as PG-13 like the previous films, then they're gonna have to really dial back on the violence. But if they want to maintain the details of the story, then they should not hold back at all. They should go all in with the blood and the gore if they do the movie version of this one. Yeah, but I am curious though. Like, if they do the movie version of it, considering that Donald Sutherland plays him in the other movies, who they would get to play him in as the younger version, that would be interesting to see. I mean, I had different people in my head, but they are too old for this. But that's just me. But this is a very, like I said, Dick. You see. This story really shows you why President Snow hates District 12 so much in the other books. Why he has that resentment towards that district, and why he has so much hatred for it. Why he hates... I mean, he hates all the districts, but District 12 specifically he hates. Because... I'm trying to think of the right words for this one. I can't really think of it, but the tribute that he gets from District 12. Let me look through here so I can get her name, because I can't remember it. Like, I feel like I remember it, but then I can't remember it. If that makes sense. District. What's her name? Lucy Gray, yeah, that's the name of her, Lucy Gray, yes, and yeah, I'm not really sure what to say. It's just it kind of hinted it in the little synopsis that there is a little bit of a love story there. And, it leads to a lot of shit going down, that affects a lot of people in this story. So, yeah. I don't really know what else to say, honestly, about that, because because the name Lucy Gray comes from a poem that I actually just did a Google search on it right here. So the name has some significance to it. So that's something. Yeah, and I really wonder how much of this stuff that the author Suzanne Collins actually, how much of this stuff that she actually researched on her own to get the inspiration for it. So I'm sure she has a good knowledge of this kind of stuff, And I feel like I'm not doing a very good job with reviewing this story, but I mean, it's my first time reviewing it, and I'm trying to do it as non-spoiler, So forgive me for if it's a shitty review. And if you like it, wonderful, thank you. Hope you enjoyed this book if you eventually read it. If you've already read the book, would love to discuss it with some of you. And if you think that I've done a shitty job, oh well, whatever. Not my problem. And but yeah. But I guess if I had to give this a score or a rating, I'll say like maybe rating system of 10 being the best, I would say probably give this maybe a 7 or an 8. Yeah, I'll give it an 8. I would give this on a scale of 10, I would give this book an 8. But it is a very good book. I enjoyed it very much. And like I said, once I'm going to read it again very, very soon. And I'm actually rereading the other Hunger Games stories currently right now. So maybe at some point I'll review one of those, or I'll review all three of them as one story. I encourage all of you to check it out on your own if you would like to. And thank you very much for tuning in for my very first book review on the Men in Tights podcast. So I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll check it out. It's a very violent story. If you love violent, you know, stories, it's a very dramatic, very emotional, romantic at times. There is some levity to it at certain parts, but it's mostly a very dark and dramatic story. In the meantime, check out other stuff that I have on the Men in Tights podcast. You can check my other podcast review episodes that I've done, my movie reviews, retro film reviews, video game reviews, classic wrestling pay-per-views, my worst to best rankings, which I'm going to try to do another one very soon. It's been a while since I've done one. I think the last one I did was X-Men. Let me look at the schedule that I have coming up of other stuff that I'm going to be doing on this channel. I have another episode of the regular podcast. It's going to be between November and December. I have diversity and inclusion in entertainment. That'll be a fun one to discuss. Another episode that I have coming up soon, titled Sucker Punch, taking a look at Zack Snyder's misunderstood masterpiece. And other ones that I have coming up, another one, Separating the Art from the Artist, easier said than done. Retro film review coming in December. This one is specifically December 7th. It is Edward Scissorhands, because it'll be the 30th anniversary of the release of Edward Scissorhands, and I wanted to do that because it felt perfect, and plus, I consider it a Christmas movie, so perfect timing for that. Another mental health awareness podcast about the influence of social media. Another video game review that I have coming up. That one, I'm going to be reviewing the Uncharted series. Not just one of the Uncharted games. I'm going to be reviewing Uncharted Drake's Fortune, Uncharted 2 Among Thieves, Uncharted 3 Drake's Deception, Uncharted 4 A Thief's End, and Uncharted The Lost Legacy. That's right, I'm going to review those five games in one review. So I'm going to have a lot of fun with that one. And it's going to definitely be a long one for sure. And the classic wrestling pay-per-view will be Starrcade 1988. And also, to close out the year, I'll be doing a podcast looking back at the year 2020. Because, boy, oh boy, this year has been something, that's for sure. And, thank you all so much for watching, for listening. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox Radio, Public Breaker, and Anchor. All the direct links to those will be in the description for this. And check out the Men in Tights podcast store. There are some fun t-shirt designs that I have on there. Or if you don't want them as t-shirts, some of them will be available in face mask form, stickers, magnets, wall art, notebooks, phone cases, all kinds of fun stuff. And you can support me by joining my Patreon for $1 a month. And you can also contribute to my friend Julie's GoFundMe if you haven't done so already. Contribute to the Autumn Snyder Tribute Fund from AFSP. The links to that and to the GoFundMe will be in the description. And we still have a couple of days left for the Sometimes It's Okay to Not Be Okay campaign on Ink to the People. That link is available. That's pretty much all I got to say for that one. Thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do. I truly, genuinely do. It's been a crazy year. It truly has. And I hope you're all doing well, staying safe, staying healthy, taking care of yourselves and your loved ones. And, you know, trying to pass the time and all this craziness and madness with the pandemic and the lockdown. And, you know, I hope you're occupying your time very well. You know, taking up hobbies, you know, like playing a video game, you know, writing, reading books, you know, definitely check out this book for sure. And you can also catch me on all my social media, Twitter, Instagram, Vero, Snapchat, if you're on Snapchat. On Twitter, I am at IamFositude. On Snapchat and Vero and Instagram, all of those are at Fositude. So, if you ever want to chat, catch me on any of those. The direct links to my Twitter, Vero, and Instagram are in the description as well. Again, Snapchat is at Fositude if you want to check me out on Snapchat. And hope you enjoy I'm going to be uploading this November 29th, Sunday. So, December starts on Tuesday, December the 1st, which means I will be just a few weeks from my birthday. That's right, I'll be turning 34. And let me see. So, December starts on Tuesday, so. So that means I'm just over 3 weeks away from my birthday. That'll be fun. Maybe I'll do a special little podcast on there, or maybe I'll even do a live episode that day. Who knows? I haven't decided yet. If anyone wants to see me go live, then just let me know. I'll go live on YouTube. That'll be a lot of fun. But anyways, I am Julian. This has been Book Reviews for the Minotides Podcast. Hope you all enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy the rest of your week. Bye-bye.